Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Ray Hager and I talk with Jill Derby and John Galtney about funding for the community colleges. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Dory Guy and Eric Herzig. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We represent the key component of Governor Sandoval's New Nevada, economic diversification through economic development. National competition demands we must maintain this momentum because newly developing industries require creative solutions. The things you do today will affect our tomorrow. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Jill Derby. She's the former Nevada Democratic Party chair and also a former member of the Board of Regents, and John Galtney, President Emeritus of Trachimedes Community College. Pleasure to have you both on the program.
Well, Jill, let me start with you, with your background on the Board of Regents. Now, the current Board of Regents for the university system has commissioned an investigation into Chancellor Dan Klaich. He allegedly quashed research that was critical of his administration and the way the university works. I was just wondering, do you think it's a foregone conclusion that Chancellor Klaich will be exonerated when this investigation is over?
Well, just to be honest with you, Ray, I don't know much about that investigation, but what is, I think, more interesting is that the consultant that was hired focused on the community colleges and the position they have in the whole system and made a certain kind of recommendation. And it's the same recommendation that other consultants have made regarding the secondary status of the community colleges in the university system and how that doesn't work. And the recent budget formula that's been adopted is one that really hurts them in comparison with how the universities are funded. And I think that's the big issue in this whole thing.
Right, that's okay. True. But it's been overwhelmed by the controversy around the chancellor, though.
Well, I think that's unfortunate because I want to keep people's attention on the community colleges that serve half the students in Nevada and that are underfunded, underappreciated, and undersupported. And that's been the case ever since I've been on the Board of Regents. In fact, I chaired a task force on the community colleges back in the early 90s. And we looked at that whole situation of the community colleges and how they are really have a secondary status and what that means for Nevadans, and looked at how to address it. And unfortunately, One of the things we did was to hire a vice chancellor for community colleges, which is a terrible mistake, because all it did is add an administrative layer between the community colleges and the regents and shift the attention away from the CEO of the system, who is the chancellor. So I'm very focused on the community colleges and what that particular consultant that was hired had to say initially about the way it doesn't work inside a system that is really a university system.
Let's look at it from the other perspective then. What would you like to see done that Nevada can afford?
Well, if Nevada can afford a higher education system, then Nevada can afford to make it equitable with funding the community colleges that educate half the students in Nevada. That's what I want to see. That's what I've always wanted to see done. Now, there's been a move, many of these consultants that have been asked for their opinion about it and looked at it have said, well, you need a separate governance structure then for the community colleges. I've never been an advocate for that, but I'm just starting to wonder whether or not structurally it works to have community colleges inside a system that's focused on the universities. Of course it's focused on the universities because they're the big dogs in the state. I mean, really, they are, for all the reasons they are, their athletic teams, their hundreds and thousands of alumni that are around, et cetera. So I think it's an interesting structural question that needs to be addressed, and I think it's unfortunate this other issue has come
in. Okay, John, let me ask you this. Do you think the community colleges would do better if they broke away from the university system and sought funding by themselves at the university? Now, Chancellor Clait said that if there were two entities seeking funding at the university, the universities would overwhelm the community colleges, not exact words, but his meaning, in the funding. Do you think that would be the case?
First of all, I agree with everything that Dr. Derby just said to you about this. I probably are a step further along in saying I think the separation is the only way to bring equity to the community colleges. I'm not sure about that, but let me indicate to you that to answer your question, can community colleges compete with universities in a legislative body? And the answer is yes, without question. The overwhelming number of states that have separate systems, we're very unique in the sense that we have a system that's combined. For the most part, the overwhelming number is separated. I served as president in two other states, and we went to the legislature in competition with the universities. And generally speaking, I think we did very, very well.
Okay. But it goes back to my original point, because we're coming out of recession. This is the first session where we've seen additional monies really being put towards education, both in K-12 and in higher ed. What cost would it be to break away the community colleges, because they have taken these massive cuts, and nobody argues about the depths of cuts, especially for Western Nevada College and up in Elko, that we would love not to see those cuts. But how much money would it cost if we were to have a completely separate administration? Would it be a board of regents? How would that work, and what would it cost?
Well, I think in the length of time you have, we really can't do other than to say, I think it can be done for almost exactly the same amount of funds we're spending now.
All right, but then you would have to take money away from the university system.
Well, you're taking half the students. I'm trying to figure out why you'd leave all the money.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, the way that it's structured right now, the university system has, and I don't have a dog in the fight, so I mean, I'm just asking the questions
here.
Yeah,
got it. It's a good question.
The money has been allotted, to the university system. Do you want to see, I can't imagine that you want to see money taken away from, the medical school or the hospitality school that's being rebuilt to go towards, you'd be looking for new funding. Where does that come from?
Well, let me say to begin with, what the old argument about is really how you divide up the pie. And what this is all about is the pie has not been divided up equitably for as long as I know, which is now going on 28, nearly 30 years. So given that you've got that, do you say because there'll be some extra expense in having a separate board, a separate governance structure, that we should do nothing? No, I wouldn't argue with that. Yes, it would require something, but John's point is well taken. There are a couple of other states that try to do this same system of one umbrella, community colleges, universities, all under it, and it's always the same story, that the community colleges are underfunded and undersupported. So given that that has a major impact in this time, in this era, when we're trying to address income inequality, and in fact, these students that attend the community colleges are the ones that are, they can afford it better, it works better with their schedules, and it's just important that we fund that, given the larger issue that the state and the nation is facing with income inequality. Look, this is the lane that so many young people and even not so young people use to get into the middle class, and it's the only one. And they're often ones that can't afford the university, either because of the tuition costs or because of the schedules, they work full time, and so on and so forth. So I'm saying you always look at competing values, aren't you, Sam? And fair enough to make the case that, okay, there'd be some extra expense. I don't think it's huge, by the way. Some extra expense. But do you put that in to make a system fair and work for the citizens of Nevada, the students, and the future students of Nevada? I think you do. It's a worthy expense.
All right, let's take a break. More on this topic, and we'll see if we can get you guys fired up right after this dialogue.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You know, everybody's been talking about the Tesla effect. Here's our reality. Construction is booming. Roads are under construction. And the job creation and our market, it's booming. Our stable tax base is growing. And thank you, Governor Sandoval and all of the legislators, for delivering on this promise. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby and John Galtney.
Well, John, I'm going to address this to you because Jill's been talking, but Jill, please chime in. The issue that I see with funding the community colleges is they are all in Republican strongholds, and their areas are represented by lawmakers who are on this no new tax bandwagon. I'm talking about John Ellison, I'm talking about James Settlemyer, and I'm talking about Jim Wheeler. Those are the people that represent the areas of Western Nevada College and Great Basin Community College. And I'm just thinking, other Democrats have told me, well, they're not going to get any funding until they come on board to support new taxes for things in the urban areas. So do you think representation, or the no new taxes representation that the community colleges has, hurts them?
I think, as you stated it, it has some in the past. I would concur with that. Let me indicate to you that as a president of a community college in two other states, I knew my local legislators, whether they were Democrat and Republican, and the very first thing I did was forget whether they were Democrat or Republican. And that my job was to see to it that they understood their dollars were being spent in the most judicial way they could possibly be spent, and to cajole them into giving a few more dollars. I think you'll find that those people, once they believe that the system that they're putting the money into is taking care of their students, you'll get more money.
But that doesn't seem to be working in Nevada, because the funding for the community college has been on a downward spiral for, I would guess, 8 years.
It's not worked because the money is going into the system. And I have spoken to two of those three that you identified. And they believe that the money goes into the universities first, and their people are being treated shabbily. And I'm saying you're not going to get a whole lot of support from those people.
And you've got to remember, too, that CSN, the Community College of Southern Nevada, is one of the community colleges. And although it's been treated somewhat better inside the formula, it still is a community college that is not equitably funded in comparison with the universities. So there are an awful lot of legislatures down in Las Vegas, and there are a lot of Democrats there. I mean, I think that legislatively it's a case that can be made.
Okay, but let me ask you this then. You know, if there's a shortage of money, do you look at Nevada State College and say perhaps that shouldn't have been, and that the money that went toward that should have gone to the community, other community colleges?
Let me just say I was chairman of the board and a great advocate for Nevada State College.
I remember.
Okay, so no, I wouldn't say that, because we needed that middle tier. And it's very, if you look at what it has accomplished in terms of training teachers and nurses and others to that bachelor degree level, it's been invaluable in a way that the community colleges don't, or almost never offer baccalaureate degrees. I think it's been critical, and I wouldn't say that at all. You know, it's a matter of how you divide up the pie. It's the case you make to the public and the legislators that represent those districts. And I just think it needs to be more equitable. And the question is, does the current structure allow for it to be? You know, it's just...
I got to wrap you up here.
Okay.
Okay. To be continued. I mean, obviously, this is a very important discussion, especially when we have so many new businesses coming into Nevada, and especially into the Carson City and Reno areas. I think the community colleges are going to be a massive part of this.
Workforce training. You bet. Yeah,
yes, indeed. That's where I got to leave it for now. We'll be back right after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax. Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
I called Fallon Auto Mall, gave me all the information I needed on the vehicle. We were able to do the deal actually over the phone. They were able to get me a great rate. It was just a matter of minutes, and I was out the door.
Why settle for the frustrations of satellite? 1 out of 4 satellite customers claim they have reception outages and bad weather, and 80% of satellite customers don't have real video on demand.
Plus, there's this on your house.
With Spectrum, everyone has access to tons of free on-demand options instantly, and your favorite HD channels are already included. And our DVR service lets you pause, play, and rewind live TV in up to 4 rooms.
Can't do that with satellite.
With the Spectrum TV app, watch live TV anywhere in your home on your mobile devices, and download movies and shows to watch offline anywhere. Call 844-882-2999 now. Spectrum Internet is 20 times faster than DSL, so everyone in your home can be online at the same time. Get Spectrum Internet and get unlimited calling and great features with Spectrum Voice. Get TV, Internet, and voice from $29.99 a month each with no contracts and a money-back guarantee. Call 844-882-2999 today.
Shop the Fallon Auto Mall, where there's a different way of doing business.
It was easy. Talked to the salesperson, got it ordered, and no dealer markup. It really was different than shopping in Reno.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Eric Herzig is here, professor of political science at UNR, and Dori Guy with Emerge Nevada. Pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
So I wanted to bring up the fact that because of term limits, we see changes again at the top of the Democratic Party. Irene Bustamante Adams, chosen as Democratic Assembly Leader. Your thoughts on her and what we can expect?
Well, it's kind of a logical choice. And with term limits now, you are getting a lot more change. There are some good news and bad.
And rapid change. And
rapid change. And in this particular case, it's particularly odd for the Democrats because they fell out of power, and which I don't think too many people saw. But they're going to get it back in 2016. I think Republicans are delusional if they think they're going to hold those 10 seats that they picked up in Clark County.
And you were formerly a Republican.
I still am.
I thought you became an independent, but that's fine.
It's really interesting to watch the maneuvering of the Democrats now because you essentially are nominating the next Speaker of the Assembly. And female, Latina, the second in command, female, Latina. The Democrats have...
And that's Teresa Benitez Thompson. Yeah,
the Democrats have clearly moved in a particular direction. It's a younger, it's energetic party. Republicans have moved in their own direction as well, and we'll see how that plays out.
Dori?
I love Irene. She's a really good lady and a sweetheart. And I totally agree with Eric. We have a much younger group in the legislature now, and I think they are going to prove to be a real powerhouse. And I think that's great.
Well, you know,
I love that we have a younger group coming in rather than these older people.
She's replacing Marilyn Kirkpatrick.
Right.
That's somebody that Republicans felt very, very comfortable working with on a lot of different mm-hmm. issues. And there was some that said that Marilyn could have floated between both parties if she wanted to.
Right.
You know,
Do you think that Irene Bustamante Adams is that kind of person, a pro-business person, somebody who's going to work across the aisles, or somebody who's going to push forward a more leftward Democratic agenda?
No, I think she will be able to work across the aisles very well. She's pretty powerful in the way she acts and reacts, but I really believe that she'll be able to work with everyone.
I just don't think it's a lock that she's going to be the speaker. We have to see how she... her ability to fundraise for the caucus first, and if she falls flat there, I don't think they're going to elect her as the speaker. And then there's also the issue of Jason Frierson, who lost his election 2 years ago or last year, and will be back running again, and he might take over the speakership. It's hard to say.
But Irene's had a lot of experience with fundraising.
Let's see.
I really think she'll be able to
okay,
do that, it.
I think because that's the key. You got to be able mm-hmm. to raise money for the caucus.
Do you agree, Eric?
Only somewhat. I mean, the fundraising obviously is important, although on the Republican side, we saw a fundraiser and guy who worked very hard for his colleagues not get the speakership, Mr. Hickey.
Mm-hmm. Right, very good point.
And with Frierson coming back in, yes, he was being groomed for a leadership position, but... You know, you lose an election, that's a kind of check mark against you, as opposed to, say, the fundraising. So, yes, it's too early to say, but I would suggest that when you have picked your new leadership, you generally don't want to change it over and over. The Republicans did that in the Assembly in this last session, and I don't think it worked particularly well. Settled into position. So... we'll see what happens.
Victoria Seaman announced that she's a candidate for State Senate seat 6, and that's the seat currently held by Mark Lipparelli. She is certainly to the right in her philosophy. What do you think about that? And, you know, what we're going to see, I think, ongoing is people to the right of the current Republicans who voted with the governor.
Okay, I would analyze this on two levels. Yeah, she moved to the Senate seat because her Assembly seat is totally vulnerable. She wouldn't be reelected. She's one of those 10 that would be very vulnerable. the Senate seat is less of a lead for the Democrats. She's certainly right-wing, right of Liparelli. Liparelli hasn't announced whether he's going to run against. This could be an ongoing problem, to the second part of your question, ongoing problem for the Republicans is this internal fight, which we've seen now since easily 2006, 2004, of the so-called real Republicans versus the establishment Republicans, and it's just not good for the party.
Right.
Well, you know, just the thought of them working against the governor this year just kind of blew my mind. I think that the Republicans were so scattered in their thoughts and their beliefs that none of them could come together on any one thing. And I think that's the problem right now, especially with some of these Republicans wanting to bring suit against the governor for what he did while he was in office. And that's pretty amazing.
Ray, you get the last word. We've got about 20 seconds.
Well, I don't think Victoria Seaman did a particularly great job in the assembly, and I think you got to learn one job before you jump to another. But, Eric, you make a good point. She wasn't going to get reelected to that assembly seat.
And that's where we have to leave it. Yeah. Thank you all very
much. Thank you.
And so it begins. We'll be right back.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
This hot August night's calendar of events is brought to you by Summit Racing Equipment. This Monday and Tuesday, don't miss these special events, starting with the kickoff party at the Peppermill Resort Casino. And then DJ Rocks performs your favorite classics Monday night. The Super Cruise of Champions at the Atlantis Casino Resort Spa. The 10,000 Classic Cherry Show and Shine at the Grand Sierra Resort. And the Open Cruise in downtown Sparks Tuesday night. This hot August night's calendar of events is brought to you by Summit Racing Equipment.
I'm Carrie D. I've had moderate to severe plaque psoriasis most of my life. But that hasn't stopped me from modeling. My doctor told me about Stelara. It helps keep my skin clearer. With only 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses, Stelara helps me be in season.
Stelara may lower your ability to fight infections and increase your risk of infections. Some serious infections require hospitalization. Before starting Stelara, your doctor should test for tuberculosis. Stelara may increase your risk of cancer. Always tell your doctor if you have any sign of infection, have had cancer, or if you develop any new skin growths. Do not take Stelara if you are allergic to Stelara or any of its ingredients. Alert your doctor of new or worsening problems, including headaches, seizures, confusion, and vision problems. These may be signs of a rare, potentially fatal brain condition. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Tell your doctor if you or anyone in your house needs or has recently received a vaccine.
In a medical study, most Stelara patients saw at least 75% clearer skin, and the majority were rated as cleared or minimal at 12 weeks. Stelara helps keep my skin clearer. Ask your doctor about Stelara.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
On our next broadcast, we'll be talking about the economics of the United States and why we don't appear to be doing as well as we should be. We'll see you on the next broadcast.